The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
Ace is on the case.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Again with the Dilly.
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. Troy Brown going to join us for the 7 o'clock hour. 617-779-0985 is your telephone number. The Patriots, very disappointing loss in Pittsburgh. This does seem like the end of something. It seems like the end of certainly ease getting into Super Bowl situations, and you can basically kiss the number one seed goodbye.
I just thought, like, last night watching that game, and just from the way that the team has been playing and just from the roster that they have, there's no one special on this team. Like, I mean, if you look at the way that Tom Brady has played this season, I mean, his numbers are all mediocre to bad. Like, I mean, his red zone numbers, I think he's third worst in the league in the red zone. And if you take a look at just like his quarterback rating and what it's been all season long, and then another guy that you used to be able to point at and say, well, this guy's special, Rob Gronkowski's, you know, completely lost his powers. Julian Edelman, I think, is like leads the league in drops now.
Yeah,
if he doesn't
Edelman,
lead it,
real big ones yesterday.
Yeah,
and Edelman's
ones.
Done. I mean, he's physically done.
Well, I mean, he's older, and we knew this, and we knew that sooner or later, all of the hard hits he's taken were going to catch up.
See,
and you just scan this team as a whole. Sony Michel had flashes, and it's in all fairness, he's a rookie, so you can't really expect a ton out of him. James White's being underutilized, and I don't know if it's because he's hurt or not.
I think that other teams realize that White is special and are taking him, making a concerted effort to take him out of the Patriots.
And them not finding a way to use him makes him not as special anymore.
Well, he's not there to specifically run the football. That's the thing. And so they take him away as an option out of the backfield, and Brady has to look downfield. Getting back to Edelman real quick, Edelman is getting open. That's the thing. Physically, he's still able to get open with the variety of option routes that Welker used to run once upon a time. The problem with him is hanging on to the football.
Right.
That's not a physical thing. That's something else. They had a couple balls hit him in the chest and bounce off last.
Well, it happened to everyone yesterday.
That shouldn't happen.
And in fairness, they do have to double-team Gronkowski. I mean, they're double-teaming him on every play.
I watch this team, and you're right, Rich. There's a lot about this team that isn't special, but the scary thing is nobody's hurt. I mean, there have been times when the Patriots have limped to the finish line. Okay, this person's out, this person's out. There have been years where they've lost three different left tackles and they moved Marcus Cannon over to play. I mean, they've had guys, Logan Mankins was playing left tackle and they're still able to win. There's nobody serious. There's nobody very, very important that's hurt.
Well,
the guys out there are the guys that should be executing, and they're not.
What you're saying is that there's no excuses.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And they're undisciplined, as obviously as you saw yesterday, and Brady's made two
gigantic mistakes in the red zone 2 weeks in a row.
And that's the thing, is that until this year, how many things have you seen, like just this season, that are as unpatriot-like as you could imagine? But it's getting to the point where, with this just amount of sample size, with two games left in the season, maybe this is who the Patriots are now. I mean, you say unpatriot-like, but all season long, they've been leading up to a point where you're like, well, Brady had a brain fart there. Wow, Josh McDaniels had a really bad play call there. Wow, Gronkowski's just not able to get open. I just thought about it yesterday, and I'm like, there's no one player on this team now, because of the way Brady's been so mediocre, that you can say is a special player.
That's the thing. Everything, there was no mistake that couldn't be fixed because Brady was so otherworldly. And he's still very good. You look at his numbers yesterday, they aren't horrible, but he is not the kind of player at the moment that can erase what is wrong with this team. I mean, let's go over it. They're getting gashed by the run every week.
Yeah.
They're losing on the road. They're 3-5 on the road. And take a look at those three road wins. At Buffalo, at the Jets, and in Chicago, where the Bears almost had a Hail Mary to change things at the end of the game. They're not. It's always been the small things. The Patriots just wouldn't make mistakes and wait for the other team to crap themselves to win big games. And now it's the other way. 14 penalties. I understand some of the holding penalties are questionable, but how many false starts?
Right.
How many false starts in bad Patriots teams aren't supposed to, offensive linemen aren't supposed to crap themselves on the road. That's the other team's job. That the other team's supposed to do that. And that's been the hallmark of all of these great Patriots teams for the last 15 or 20 years. And this year is different. Now you can look at it and say, you know what? You know, the defense was great last night. They didn't give up much.
They did enough to win.
Overall, look at it in the bigger context. I mean, you look at the way the Patriots have played on the road this season, and they have at least one and maybe two road games staring them in the face in the playoffs, and the equation to success for this team was to get a first-round bye, get a couple of home games, destroy people in Foxborough during the playoffs, which by and large they've been able to do during this great run, and go to the Super Bowl. This is completely different. This team is completely different from everything we've seen before. And Patriots fans, and I got a lot of this on social media last night, you know, they'll figure it out. Not this year. This year is different. They're not going to figure it out. They don't have any time left to figure it out.
Yeah, they've lost two.
They
two
are
games
what they are.
December.
And the other hallmark of Patriot teams are, you know, after Thanksgiving is winning time. You don't lose games in December. Nonetheless, put aside back-to-back games in December. You don't lose games at this time of year. Not only are they losing games, they're doing really stupid little things to lose these games.
And by the way, I wouldn't give the defense too much credit considering that they had a third-round rookie that ran all over them.
Well, they've had people run all over them all season long. The run defense is
atrocious. It was awful in Miami 2 weeks ago. It was just as bad yesterday.
And it's not even giving them credit. It's more of a condemnation of the offense. Is that if your defense, despite all that happening, holds the Steelers to 17 points, you should be able to win that game.
Yeah.
You should. So it's not even praising the defense. It's what are you doing?
The Patriots teams we've all become accustomed to watching go into Pittsburgh and win that game yesterday.
Sure. Right.
And
Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, man. The past two games, the defense is straight up diarrhea. Okay? Diarrhea. Okay? I can't even understand what's going on with that defense. And then the offense, they're trying to do the best they can. Brady's not what he used to be. Not the defense since the beginning of the season, you knew that they weren't that good. But they just keep getting exposed over and over and over again. You know, it's sad. It's very disgusting. They're not going to the Super Bowl. If people think that they're going to go to the Super Bowl the way they play, get into reality. Get the real world. These two games are just sickening on defense. Every time defense is on the field, I feel like I want to throw up.
They can't stop the run.
Well, the other Brady thing that has been fascinating is how many times this season have you gone back and watched some of these plays and gone, wow, this guy was wide open and you didn't see him. At the end of the game, watch that final drive. James White on like
two straight plays wide open, able to score.
Well,
didn't see him.
And the other thing is the play calling. You brought up Josh McDaniels, Rich. Josh McDaniels' play calling, that last sequence, it mystifies me. I mean, you got to throw an underneath route or at least give the opposition a threat of an underneath route. I think there were four verticals on the final play. You're outside the 20-yard line, and you throw three straight passes into the end zone. I mean, give yourself a chance. I don't understand any of this. I mean, I'm mystified as to how it got to this so quickly.
Mystified.
It's not really quickly.
No, this team was 7-2.
Yeah, but the receivers are old. Gronk is always injured. I mean, like you could have seen something like this coming. It's not like it just came out of nowhere.
I don't know.
Brady's older.
I don't know if Brady was going to turn into something like this.
They got rid of Brandon Cooks. Like they made no moves to bring in like a young stud. And Josh Gordon, as good as he's been, you know, was damaged goods somewhere else. It's not like they did anything to upgrade.
He had a huge drop too. This feels, and Fred, it's interesting you brought this up at the beginning because I felt the same way watching it. This feels like the beginning of the end. It feels like this is something that ultimately the Patriots can't fix. And it all starts with Brady. I mean, we said it many times before, and all of us would have lost a lot of money betting against him. But at the age of 41, this feels like the end of this fantastic run.
Well, he's afraid of getting hit. And that's why the two mistakes that he made in the red zone the last two games are because he was afraid of being hit. He took a sack because he could get into position to absorb it. And then yesterday, he just heaved something up. I mean, that's uncharacteristic.
The bad decisions he's making. The huge mistake in the red zone early in the fourth quarter with his team only down four. We're not used to seeing that. I mean, he may just constantly throwing balls into the end zone when he didn't have to. It's just that decision-making ability that's made Brady better than everyone else. And things are different. Losing track of timeouts in Miami but at the end of the first half, that's not something that happens with him.
No.
It's different this year.
All right, so we'll take your phone call, 617-779-0985. Plus, I guess a Christmas party got...
A little out of hand, I'm told.
There was people sleeping all day Saturday.
I left early, well, earlier than everyone else, and I'm finding these things out.
Well, I found out stuff that happened during dinner that I didn't realize were happening.
What was happening?
What did I miss? During dinner?
What did I miss?
I'm looking at Dan in the other room.
Interesting.
I'd say that's the bigger story.
Interesting.
Well, I don't know. I left early, too, so I don't know what went on later on in the night. I don't know.
But you know what happened during dinner?
I was there, yes.
Okay. What happened?
Oh. We'll save it for 8 o'clock.
We're going to wait that long?
We'll save that for 8.
Wait, does it involve me?
It involves all of us, but a lot of it involves you, yes.
What happened?
Oh, we got an 8 o'clocker that'll...
It's not a big deal. No, it's not going to be a big deal. I don't think in the grand scheme of things, anything that anybody did was a big deal.
No, it wasn't a big deal. No. It was just fun. It was like funny.
Yeah.
I was
at the other end of the table, so I missed
it. So this was all like new to me.
Yeah, I missed it.
I didn't find out until afterwards, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
What's up, Fred?
I think you and I were both superstars on Friday night. I think it was like bookends.
No, you were kind of in the middle, and I was all the way down at the other end, and I missed all of this.
No, I mean bookends of the night.
Pulling
superstar moves.
I get it, yeah.
I think.
All right.
Is it bad?
No. It's not bad. It's funny. It's great. It's actually a great story.
You heard what Dan said. Nothing.
It's nothing embarrassing. It's just really funny.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, you're not going to be like, oh, my God. No. This is something that I was actually cackling laughing when I heard the story.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin'. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. Now you can get two for $5 at Dunkin'. Dunkin' Go 2's participation may vary. The Patriots give us 2 weeks of back-to-back crap.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Dancing in the pocket. Throwing to the end zone. For Edelman. Ball's tipped, and it lands incomplete with 14 seconds to go. Brady in a seated position, knocked out after the throw, will be helped to his feet to walk to the far side and then to head back home in the wake of another loss on the road.
Worst part about it, two gross losses in the month of December as you're closing out a year with two layups left at the end of the year.
Well, for the second week in a row, the AFC East champs t-shirts and hats had to be boxed back up and put on the team bus unworn as the Patriots lose back-to-back games in December, the first time since 2002. 17-10, the final awful score in Pittsburgh. It was a game that was there for Belichick's taking, one that the Patriots in years past would have easily found a way to win through smart, disciplined play and Tom Brady's clutch genetics. However, neither of those two were on display as the team committed a whopping 14 penalties for 106 yards. And as far as the quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, here's one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see Tom Brady throw.
Second and goal from the 16. Snap to Brady. Stands in, pressured. Throws a high lob to the near side. It's up for grabs, and it's going to be intercepted by Hayden if he came down in bounds. He leaps over two Patriots, and he lands inside the four. And a turnover for the Steelers to celebrate, posing for a picture in the end zone.
Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
And Julian Edelman has gone down on all fours as we take the timeout midway through the fourth quarter.
Egads. Boy, Hayden got up there.
Yeah, he did. That was great.
He got up there. Yeah. And that's another thing is you got to question the effort of the New England receivers. I mean, he's right in between two guys.
Yeah, that was an amazing catch. But the whole offense as a whole, just putrid. They were 3 of 10 on third down, and their three drop passes were a season high. There was a period mid-game when they punted on five straight drives, and in the red zone, the Patriots were 0 for 3.
Quarterback surveys the defense going left to right. He takes the snap. Flags fall. Another penalty on New England.
Another tackle move.
13th infraction on the Patriots. A full start.
I just want to hear this play here because apparently Zoe gets extremely pissed. Is this the pass interference? Where the hell is it? All right, I'll see if I can pull it up. There's one play on here that I guess Zoe absolutely loses mind. Mike, if you could put it any 7. For some reason, that one's missing from here. We'll play that in a second. But in a sea of awfulness, there was one actual fantastic play yesterday. And that was a fairly cool moment. Let's enjoy that amongst all the garbage that we're going to hear this morning. It ultimately not ended up meaning anything anyway. But special teams, baby.
It's a 4th-and-4 snap, waist high, nose of the football down, left-footed punt, end over end, sailing to the near side of the field. Switzer moves over, that ball bounces from the 9 across the 5, and John Jones dives toward the end zone, trying to keep it in play, batted it back, and then a second Patriot came in to keep it in play. Is that Rex Burkhead diving across the goal line to toss the ball back to the 1? It was Burkhead launching from outside the goal line, flip it back to the 1, covered up by Ramon Humber. A tremendous effort by Jones, who got knocked down on the play.
And you know that since that was special teams, I'm thinking Bill Belichick had a hard time sitting down after that one.
It was Slater getting out of the way. Slater making an athletic move.
He's always the one that does that.
Yeah, he got out of the way. He said that, boy, here we go again.
He's the straw that stirs the special teams drink.
He is indeed.
Well, on the heels of that Miami debacle last week, weird coaching decisions continue to pile up. Josh Gordon wasn't even on the field for the final play. James White was completely missing until that final drive. Last week, he was invisible as well. And Gronk, as we know, had two catches for just 21 yards on defense. The Patriots still can't stop the run. With Connor out once again and resorting to backup Jalen Samuels, the Patriots defense gave up 158 yards on the ground.
He averaged 7.5 yards a carry. And by the way, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but that the touchdown that the Patriots scored was that was just, I think they took the guy out of the game.
Well, it's a broken play. I mean, that's one of those.
I think they took the, because remember they were talking about the guy in the Steelers secondary and how he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And they hadn't used him since week 6. Yeah. I don't think that guy played after that.
There was no one in the same zip code when he
I mean,
the
so that was just a completely busted
Hogan
coverage.
By himself, no one in the camera shot.
I mean, right.
It's, and after that, Pittsburgh did a good job. They did a good job. I mean, look, that kid Watt went right around Marcus Cannon to make a big sack. I mean, I look back at that game and think, yeah, you know, there have been plenty of times where the Patriots have looked that bad in Pittsburgh. But at the end of the night, Brady always made the play to give them the win, and you were able to spit shine a pig. You were able to win that game, and people forget about how bad the Patriots looked at times because Brady was always there at the end to make things okay. Now that Brady has taken a small step back, he's somewhat mortal this year. All of a sudden, all the flaws are exposed. You know, you can't play a bad game. You have to play well.
Well, here's Tom Brady afterwards talking about, well, basically how this team is not that good right now.
Well, we're just obviously not playing well enough to win and can come in a lot of different, you know, ways, turnovers, and just missed opportunities. I think that's what it comes down to. Too many plays where we got opportunities to do stuff with it, and we don't. So it's football. I mean, wish it were. Outcomes were different, obviously, this week, last week, but just have to get back to work.
I just kind of... Another thing that's kind of pissed me off is the attitude of the team. It's almost like this doesn't really matter. I know it sounds weird, but last week when Belichick... Like, when does Belichick ever say, listen, nobody died? After a demoralizing loss like that Miami game.
Because he's getting really into Jimmy Buffett.
I mean, maybe he is, you know. He's a an NFL flip-flop. Coach looks at 40, whatever it is.
70.
Mother, AstroTurf.
Oh, I don't know what's going on. Or
that's a good line.
But those guys are just... Don't you get that vibe as well, too? Like, you want to be a little more pissed. And I'm not getting that vibe from these guys. And maybe that's just me being a fan.
I think you're projecting. That Brady thing is innocuous. The Belichick thing is bad.
Well, that's the main thing. Yeah. Like, last week, I'm like, when does he ever say that? Yeah, especially after a loss like that. Like, when you had it and you blew it and it's going to be a highlight
maybe
reel.
Maybe his feeling was that, you know, that's once in a generational play and that, you know.
And it's going to cost the team big.
Well, no, I know now, but hey.
Yeah.
It's not like it killed anyone.
Yeah, it's not like anyone died. Although he even praised the team yesterday, Belichick. It's like, you know, they play hard fought game. It's always hard to steal. So I'm like, what? Who are you? Like, what have you become? Where is Bill Belichick? But here is, I wanted to hear this. I guess Zoe kind of lost his mind. This is an illegal formation on Edelman.
Flat down the play and a diving grab by Edelman rolling across the 45. He made the catch in front of Joe Hayden. It's an apparent first down for the Patriots.
He had to be held.
But a penalty marker on the far sideline.
Illegal formation. Oh, Jesus. Offense, number 11. Covered number 87.
What? Second straight penalty on Julian Edelman.
5-yard penalty. First down.
He's had a drop in this game. And
inexcusable.
Two penalties on back-to-back snaps.
Yeah, and the Edelman thing fascinates me as well because it's like, I think he's had 8 drops this season and he's played 4 less games than anyone else in the league and he's still tied for the lead in drops.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
No.
I mean, you can't take that kind of punishment. It happened to Welker. I mean, he's at a point right now where it's all added up.
Well, here's Edelman afterwards.
Is it disturbing to you or troubling at all that some of the same issues as a team keep showing up this late in the year?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. What's the issues?
Penalties, guys getting bogged down defensively, obviously, and you're not on the side, but stopping the run. Some of these things have existed for a better part of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess those are. You know, I had 2 penalties myself, and, you gotta get better. Gotta get better.
Just gotta go hit the road on the old skateboard and do some soul skating.
Maybe if his buddy Amendola was there, they could just, you know, ride it out. Or just go down Comm Ave and do some sweet jumps.
There's a picture of Edelman just like, or Amendola sent him just like hang loose. Nothing to see here.
Oh, man. What a punch in the balls that one was. Well, Belichick seems to think that, yeah, they have to do a better job, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're not obviously trying to commit those penalties, so we got them, so we got to do a better job. We got to eliminate them. I mean, that's just too many.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it, Phil.
Wait, this is first time they've lost 2 games in December since
2002.
Back-to-backs in 16 years.
Yeah. This is their month where they've figured things out. They're a steamroller in December.
Right. Once you get past November 1st, and especially after Thanksgiving, the hallmark of this team during this run was that they were better than everybody else. And it's been that way for so long, people forget what it was like before. And this, watching what the Patriots did the last 2 weeks is a step back in time. This is what it was like before things got really, really good. This team made a bunch of stupid mistakes. They lost games in December that cost them. I mean, this is the backside of the bell curve. This is what it looks like when a dynasty tends to stumble and fall down at the very end. And unfortunately, Brady's not going to get better.
No.
He's not going to come back and throw 50 touchdown passes next year.
No,
I don't believe in anyone in the AFC though. Like that's the only thing is that I don't think the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl. But then again, if they did, I wouldn't be terribly surprised.
I would be surprised. You have to go on the road. You look back, and this team doesn't win road playoff games to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, they haven't had many road playoff games.
That's the point. But you look, whenever they've had to go on the road, I mean, I was at a playoff game in Denver where Champ Bailey returned at 100 yards for a touchdown.
Well, I thought you were going to say the Osweiler game.
No. I mean, there's the Osweiler game, too. I mean, look, this team doesn't go on the road
in playoffs. By the way, it's not like they played the Jets that great either when they were up in New York. So.
No. They won in New York. They won in Buffalo. And if Chicago gets one extra yard, they're going to overtime at Soldier Field.
All right.
And it's not good.
We'll have more. Here are your headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Takes the waist-high snap. Four-man rush. A lob down the right side for Rodgers. And he overshoots it with contact along the boundary. Steelers looking for a call. And it comes in late from the back judge. Yeah, Jonathan Jones engaged with Eli Rodgers. There was an official directly in line with both that did not reach for the flag.
Pass interference, defense.
No.
Number 31.
You can't throw that from there. You can't throw it from center field.
He just did. Remarkably.
There's a guy 3 yards from it that's got the perfect view of it that says it's a no call.
98.5, the Sports Hub, be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden. At a Globetrotters game, you won't just be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at harlemglobetrotters.com. So that is the story of the Patriots' stupid penalties. And you let a running back I'd never heard of before bust out for 142 yards.
Apparently, Stephen Ridley was peacocking after the game.
No, he had a really big game.
Yeah, he had 16 yards on 3 carries. But
had that one big play after that great special teams play, Ridley, like everyone else, ran right up the middle for 13 yards. Yeah. Got him out of trouble.
And then there you go. It was all for naught, that amazing play. But it was kind of funny. I saw a guy from Nesson tweet out the stat yesterday. The Patriots have allowed 7.6 yards per carry over the last 3 games. That's the worst 3-game mark in franchise history and the fourth worst by any NFL team since the merger. I mean, the run defense is just awful.
And like, still Danny Shelton, I'm telling you, Belichick just refuses to play him. Just won't do it. They got him as a run stuffer, and he's sitting there, and he's not playing.
By the way, was there a part of you that was glad that the Steelers kicker made the 50-yard? Or the 49-yard.
Oh, because of just the day that guy was going to have. I mean, they would have had to gotten rid of him.
Oh, no,
right?
They auditioned 2 kickers last week.
They would have taken a uniform off him before he got back in the locker room. You kidding me?
It was just like, dude.
And he couldn't even hide it, just how crushed he was after that first one.
Yeah, you missed an extra point. Or no, you missed a field goal. You missed a 28-yard field goal?
It was a field goal that was 1 yard closer than an extra point.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, and that had been, and that's been the story of his year. He's just continues to miss. I think he led the league in misses, like field goals and extra points. I think he's got a couple extra points and a bunch of field goals that he's missed.
Yeah, he was a Pro Bowler last year.
He's missed 5 extra points this year.
Oh, how do you do that?
And keep your job? I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, he was an All-Pro last year, a Pro Bowler last year. Yep. So maybe they didn't feel comfortable.
Well, the playoff picture, after the 2 losses in a row, the Patriots currently sit the number 3 seed, which, as we said, means that this could be the first season that they don't have a first-round bye since 2009. As I was saying, with the AFC, it's just weird. And once again, I don't think the Patriots are going to make the Super Bowl, but the two teams sitting in front of them are teams that the Patriots have beaten before. The Chiefs and the Texans are at 1-2, and you could argue that the Chiefs aren't as good as they used to be.
Texans are playing better.
They are playing better. Their defense looks amazing. But I've said it before, you put Bill O'Brien against Bill Belichick, and I don't know what it is, but he just absolutely loses his mind and ends up making stupid decisions and blows it. It's almost self-inflicted when that happens. I don't get it. Behind them in the four seed, you got the Steelers now and the Chargers in fifth and the Ravens at 8-6. And the Ravens, it's kind of funny when you look at what Lamar Jackson's been able to do. I think it was Ian Rappaport yesterday that said, this is the last year for Joe Flacco. Yeah. So, I mean, whether or not he gets cut or traded, I know that apparently the Jaguars, there's talk about them maybe getting another quarterback, but also having this guy, you know, Joe Flacco, kind of be the veteran presence to teach him along the way, which I don't think is the worst idea.
Flacco's washed up.
Well, they would have to cut him, right? Because no one's going to trade for that salary.
I'll check the salary.
I mean, it's got to be like $20 million, right? Like he got that ridiculous massive contract after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's got a ridiculous contract. I don't think there's any way anyone trades for him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think so either. But he's out there. I mean, and next year it sounds like that the Ravens are moving on, which is a smart
move. Flacco's got one more year left before he can really get out of it. So cap hit next year, let's see, $26 million can be right?
Yeah, well, sure.
If the Ravens cut him, it's $16 million of dead cap money next year.
They should keep him. Here's
so
why.
I don't think Jacksonville's going to get him for next year.
Lamar Jackson is not going to last two seasons in the NFL playing the way he is. I mean, that dude, like, even yesterday, he got cracked super hard because he's run, like, I think, like, 100 yards every game for the past, like, ever since he started. And he's taking hits and making dumb decisions and the kind of stuff that a guy
who's
a run-first quarterback does.
He's a run-first rookie quarterback. By the way, they compared him to Michael Vick. I think Vick ran 15 times in a game once his first year, and Jackson's done it three times already.
Well, look at Josh Allen. I mean, he's been awesome.
I know.
But awesome. I mean, he's...
This is not what he does.
Bro.
But he's been awesome as far as how many yards the guy's run. I mean, he's...
He's shocking the hell out of people because he didn't run in Wyoming.
I know.
Like
it's not good.
No, these guys, he's the kind of players that don't last long in the NFL.
And Trubisky's the same way. Is that, I mean, he's...
See, Trubisky's, he's been throwing well, too, though.
Maybe recently, but, I mean, he was relying completely on his legs.
Well, at the beginning of the season, absolutely. But as of late, he has been pretty decent as far as his arm. He's kind of becoming a little more of a complete quarterback. That Bears team's kind of shocking what they've been able to pull off. I saw Khalil Mack go tackle someone with his ass yesterday. Did you see that?
No.
It was an ass sack. Yeah, he tackled him backwards. He, like, fell backwards on him and knocked... Who are they playing? Who did the Bears play yesterday? Who the hell was it? Was the Packers? No.
Yes.
Who was the Packers? Okay. Yes. Yeah. He sacked Aaron Rodgers with his ass.
Well, I'll tell you this. Okay. It was big news because the Lions were still technically in the playoff picture, and then they lost to Buffalo 13-14 on a missed kick. You can't just go into Buffalo and win.
No. Hard to do.
By the way, that Buffalo game is going to be interesting because that Buffalo defense is pretty good.
Yeah, so, nothing's off the table.
Nothing's off
the
table.
For the Patriots right now, nothing's off the table.
I like watching Josh Allen run, man. That is funny as hell.
You're going to see it a lot this weekend.
I mean, it's been just watching the highlights of him, you're like, you should not be doing this.
No, he shouldn't be doing any of it. And it's horrible news for Buffalo it's like he makes a read, it's not there, and he just takes off.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. Because you know he's going to get cracked.
Yeah,
so
like
hard.
Every other running quarterback, a linebacker runs a 4-4-4, he's going to run him down and kill him.
And just kill him.
And it's happened to quarterbacks that are a lot quicker than Josh Allen.
Well, the funny thing about Roethlisberger is like when Van Noy he timed his blitz perfectly.
Yeah.
And he got to Roethlisberger going full speed and he still couldn't knock him down. Roethlisberger's all fat, just sitting there like, get away from me. That was amazing. Van Noy, do you remember what I'm talking about? When he went up the middle, he timed it perfectly.
He's in a full sprint.
It just sort of annoyed Roethlisberger. He took two steps back and was like, what do you think Roethlisberger weighs right now?
265, 270?
Man, he seems bigger than that.
He seems bigger than that.
Well, he's not Jared Lorenzen. He's not that big.
Yeah, but Jared Lorenzen was like 300-some-odd pounds. Because you have to remember, they weigh them at the beginning of the season.
I'm sticking with it. I say 270.
All right. All right. So we will be right back.
Thatcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Thatcher and Rich. Troy Brown going to join us coming up at 7 o'clock. Our number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a four-pack of tickets to see the Harlem Globetrotters on December 26th at the Garden. At a Globetrotters game, you won't just be watching the action. You could be in the middle of it. Tickets make a great holiday gift. Get yours today at HarlemGlobetrotters.com.
Well, the Bruins drop their second in a row as they count down the days until Berge's return.
Far corner, Reinhardt shoveled it behind the net. Eichel centers, and they score. It's flipped out in front, and Skinner with a chip shot, a changeup that floats inside the near post. Sabres 3, Bruins 2.
Jeff Skinner, the 26-year-old, 11-year-old, scored twice in the Bees 4-2 loss to the Sabres. Boston erased a pair of one-goal deficits thanks to Torrey Krug and Stephen Kampfer. Even Marchand scored, but they had the call overturned when the ref said they had called the play dead beforehand.
Yeah.
Not a good game. Here's Tuukka after the loss.
I don't know. Not necessarily. Mistakes, you know, we make mistakes and we try not to make. I made one big one there in the third and an Eichel goal. But, you know, I didn't feel like it was too loose.
Yeah. Well, some positive news and the news we've all, quite frankly, been waiting for. Patrice Bergeron scheduled to start practicing this week and may return to the lineup as early as next week. And you know that the people at NBC or whoever is airing the Winter Classic are all praying.
The Oprah Winfrey Network.
Chara.
Who's airing this thing?
Right. What do you say? The Audience Network, Fred? Is that the one you
could
always
be
reference?
The Audience Network.
Or Logo.
Logo.
Could be the Logo
Epics
Network.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
But either way, they've got to be crossing their fingers that for their big hockey event, their pride every season, that they're not missing two of the biggest stars on that Bruins team. So, cross your fingers. However, I think this morning he's expected to actually practice for the first time with the team.
As soon as Wednesday, he will be practicing, and the hope is maybe by the end of this week he could play in a game.
Well, Dan O'Brien's going to said game, and he is going to go sit out at the cold at
Hello,
Notre Dame
South
Stadium.
Bend, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Where I guess the lodging is just out of control.
You mean there aren't a bunch of luxury hotels near the rink?
I don't think there's not only luxury hotels. I would say that there's hotels that maybe get a C grading from the...
Some of the budget ones are pretending they're luxury hotels with the cost.
Well, so you're staying in Chicago, in other words.
A couple nights there and then a couple nights
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right.
Well, no rest for the weary as the Bruins head to Montreal and take on Handsome Ralph in his house tonight. You can hear the puck drop right here.
Montreal better than the Bruins, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, by the way, that Buffalo team, they look pretty good. What are they? Are they third right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tampa Bay and Toronto right in front of them.
Yeah, because Eichel's been fantastic, and, of course, Mr. Skinner as well. Well, you can hear that game tonight at 7:30 at 98.5, the Sports Hub. You want to take a call?
Sure. Let's go to Anthony. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So I checked out an early screening of Aquaman on Saturday, and I just wanted to report in about the Pitbull song.
Okay. The Pitbull Africa ripoff / cover song.
Correct.
How was it used?
It was constantly. A slow-mo as Aquaman and Amber Heard walk out of the water.
Oh, see, that seems to me like a fast jam that you got to have during a sweet action sequence.
About 3 seconds of a Pitbull verse, and then it switched into the chorus as they flew over Africa.
Okay. Did you see, by any chance, the Saturday Night Live skit that was actually funny? See, the AVClub.com gives you all the skits from Saturday Night Live the next day.
Are you talking about the Weezer one?
Yes.
Oh, it was great.
I thought that was very, very
funny.
Yeah,
it was Matt Damon and Leslie Jones got in a fight at like a Christmas dinner about whether Weezer has sucked since 96, and it just gets more ridiculous as the argument goes on. I'm kind of in between Team Leslie Jones and Team Matt Damon. She stopped at Pinkerton. I stop at the Green Album. I go one album further.
You get you could have participated.
By the way, he saw Aquaman this week. Aquaman's supposed to be pretty good, according to the reviews. However, I did see that Spider-Man movie this weekend. It's unbelievable. Like, it's legitimately even as like an adult, I'm sitting here going, this is one of the most like groundbreaking animated films that I've ever seen. It's completely trippy. And the people, the animators, it's like half CGI, half cartoon, but it feels like you're in the middle of a comic book. Dude, it's great. And I think it was number one at the box office this weekend, but that is a legitimately great movie.
Well, it's all because of Nick Miller.
Could be. He was the voice of Peter Parker from New Girl.
Mark, go ahead.
Hey, steak and eggs, guys.
Hey, Mark, what's up?
I, you know, back in September and October, in October, actually, I said this Patriots team is really not that good of a team that everybody thinks they're going to be. And anybody who thinks that they still are is freaking delusional. They play in a suckbag division because if Buffalo, Miami, or the Jets were a half-decent team, right now the Patriots would be probably playing for their playoff lives right now.
Let me ask you this, Mark, real quick. I don't mean to cut you off, but I know you say they're not a good team, and I think we all agree they're not very good. But are they good enough in the AFC?
No. They're not going to beat Kansas City.
They've beaten Kansas City. They've beaten Kansas City.
Guys, the end of the dynasty is upon us. There is no more Brady fourth quarter magic. It's gone. It's done. This team is falling apart at the seams. And pretty soon, we'll be watching the 2-14 Patriots again.
All right, I'm not willing to go there.
Oh,
yeah, you introduced a little sprinkle of Sammy D in there.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you see Sammy D against those very Houston Texans?
Yeah, he looked okay.
He looked okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He looked...
Has he given us one performance, anything close to about five performances that Baker Mayfield's given us?
Yes. He single-handedly beat Buffalo in the fourth quarter and against the Texans. He was excellent. Mm. He's got no weapons. He throws to one guy, Robbie Anderson.
No, that's fair. No, that is fair. That is fair.
Nuno was inactive, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For the Texans game?
Yes.
They didn't even dress
him. Read the receivers who played.
Didn't even dress him. Hang on a second. I'm getting there.
Yeah, read the receivers who played and the running backs who played in that game.
Darnold, 294 and two touchdowns. Oh, that's Deshaun Watson. Sorry. sorry. My mistake. Sam Darnold, 253 yards and two touchdowns. Here we go. Robbie Anderson, Chris Herndon, the tight end you say is the next Gronk. Elijah McGuire, Trenton Cannon, Andre Roberts, Eric Tomlinson, Jermaine Kearse, Jordan Leggett, and Rishard Matthews. Matthews, I recognize.
From how many years ago?
I recognize.
From how many years ago?
Many.
There you go.
Robbie Anderson and the next Gronk. Those are the two.
And by the way, find him a center who can actually deliver the ball into his hands. They have a center who can't snap.
Did he? Has he had a couple of... I haven't watched like many full Jets games.
Oh, you got to watch him.
are there issues there?
He cannot get, I'm not exaggerating, he cannot transfer the ball into Darnold's hands, which is not good for a rookie quarterback.
I looked at another mock draft yesterday. Apparently the Jets, who will be drafting 5, 6, whatever they're going to are going to take a wideout.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mississippi wideout.
Try to get some sort of hope somewhere. Yeah, considering that there's no good wide receivers, really. It's all defensive tackles and defensive ends.
Pretty much.
Did you see your boy Baker Mayfield, though? Did you see what he was able to pull out this weekend?
I saw that he is on a team that is mired in mediocrity. All right, here are the headlines.
Feeling pretty dangerous.
Yeah, he was. Troy Brown will join us. No commercials here, just the headlines.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.